We're going to turn to a book that probably of every book in the Bible. I'm just going to read a little bit for you. Don't worry if you've not got Bibles in front of you. Just going to focus on a couple of verses from it. But it's a book that we've been going through in our evening services through this kind of autumn time. It's the book of Galatians. It's towards the end of the Bible. And I just want to pause and say thank you, young people, for the way you've come back from Soul Survivor so hungry for God's Word. I know a bunch of you have taken on that challenge of reading through the Bible, the whole Bible. And I think you're doing it alongside loads of others. So keep going, keep pressing on. That's something I love to do as well. And we try to do that in our services as well. We try to open up the Bible and read bits of it and get it into our hearts. And this is a bit from Galatians. Galatians is a book all about the importance of grace. The importance of grace that can come and sort of surround each one of us. We're doing a series called Authentic. So here we go. This is grace. This is Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. Here we go. Paul writes to this little church in Galatia, which is middle of Turkey, that kind of area, sort of a region around there. He writes this. He says, quite bluntly, are you ready for this? I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. Wow, that's strong words. Just lost my place. You know what he does in verse 9? He repeats himself. He said, as we have already said, so I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than the one you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. And verse 10, he ends like this. Am I now trying to win the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. So God, I pray that in this short time we have together, you'd help us understand your words from the Bible so that we would know how to live our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, in your life, big decisions and choices will rest on whose words you will trust. It's true for the youngest here, it's true for the oldest here, and things in your life will be massively influenced, and the course of your life will be massively influenced by whose words you trust. We have often in our films and things like that, this kind of played out before our eyes, and there's a film that, as I was thinking about this, came to mind called, I think it's The Day After Tomorrow. It's a film all about kind of climate change. I don't know if you've seen it. It's quite an exciting film, and it's one of those films where these guys are all gathered in New York in a library, and suddenly the weather climate patterns change really suddenly, and they all get stuck in the snow and in the cold, and we're going to pick up the film. We're just going to watch like 2 minutes of it at a point where the young man, the kind of hero of it, his dad, by the way, is a kind of a climatologist, a really key guy, and he and this other guy have differing views, and you just watch and see what happens in these couple of moments. So here we go, over to Dave.
There's hundreds of them. They're walking on the snow.
They all going?
Getting out of the city before it's too late.
All right, everybody, quiet down. When was the last time anyone got a signal on the cell phone?
Well, I got through to my cousin in Memphis an hour ago. They're being evacuated to the south.
We should get moving too. The water's frozen over enough to walk on. We should get going before the snow gets too deep. Everyone, wrap yourselves up as fast as you can.
We shouldn't go.
We're leaving in 5 minutes.
Why not, Sam? Everyone is leaving.
When I talked to my dad, he told me we should stay inside.
The storm will kill anybody caught in it.
Then you have to say something.
I know. Excuse me, sir. You're making a mistake.
What? Hey, listen, son. We're all scared here, but we got no choice.
That's not it.
Okay, get ready to go.
If these people go outside, they will freeze to death.
Okay. What is this nonsense?
It's not nonsense, all right? Look, this storm is gonna get worse. And the people who are caught outside, they will freeze to death.
Where are you getting this information?
My father's a climatologist. He works for the government.
So what are you suggesting we do?
We stay inside, we keep warm, and we wait it out.
The snow is getting deeper by the minute. We'd be trapped here without food, supplies.
It's a risk, yeah.
An unnecessary risk.
No, it's not.
We've wasted enough time talking about this. Come on, people. Let's go.
Look. Just look for a second.
Come on, everybody.
One second.
Let's get going.
The storm is going to get bad. It's going to get really, really bad. You're not going to be able to survive it. Believe me. Sir, please just stay. Just stay. Just don't.
Whose word will you trust? The Apostle Paul is like that young man in the film. He's saying, you've got to stick with God's word. You've got to stick with this gospel that we were hearing about last week, that you were hearing about Soul Survivor, this gospel of grace, this good news that Jesus alone can rescue. Don't go and desert that and try and make life out of something else and think something else is going to save you. Don't go, as some were doing in Galatia. You know what had happened? Paul had come and had spoken this good news message that Jesus can set you free, can forgive all your sins, can make you right with God, can give you peace. And as he left and went on to some other churches, others came in. They were called kind of Judaizers. They were kind of influential people. They were people who kind of said, yeah, what Paul was saying, there were some really good things in that. But you know, you need to do that grace thing plus a whole lot of other sort of forms of religion. And that's going to be the things that is going to enable you to have a right relationship with God. And so, yeah, it's good to do the Jesus thing, but you need to sort of need to not just put your trust in the Jesus thing, in the grace stuff. You need to make sure that you're kind of building your life on some other foundations as well as just Jesus. And Paul says here in this passage, he says this, I'm astonished. It's like, you're doing what? You're so quickly leaving, as it were, going out of that building, following the way into what is just a barren wasteland, quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of God and turning to a different gospel, different good news. You're kind of lured off by other stuff. And Paul says, really, there isn't a different gospel. That's the next word he says, which is really no gospel at all. It's like, it's not actually different gospels. There's not other ways you can be saved. It is just Jesus Christ. The apostles preached as they went about the early church. They said, there is no other name under heaven by which you can be saved except Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage everyone here, from the youngest to the oldest. Some of you have been blown away afresh at Soul Survivor by this good news message, by this message that Jesus can save. I know I've seen some of you come back all buzzing with it, and it's been a thrill to see that and watch. And I know, as I look out, not just young people, but I know many here have been touched by this good news gospel of grace. But here is Paul's warning, and the warning from the Galatian church. People, even though they might have known that, even though they might have received it, what happens is that they go through life and other people come and other messages, and often they can sound very impressive. That guy had a policeman's uniform on. He must be speaking, you know, the right stuff. And so often others can come and they can sound impressive, and they will lead you astray. but don't desert Jesus Christ. Watch out for it. Be alert to it. Hold on to him and put your trust in this good news of what God has done for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, Paul is actually really strong about this. He's like, he would have been even stronger than that young boy in the film. He would have said, like, this is so serious. It impacts your eternal destiny. So these people who might be leading you astray, he says twice, he's got really strong words for them. He says, they're going to be in trouble with God. Doesn't matter who they are. He even says, if we or an angel from heaven comes and says stuff that is against this first good news message that went out with the early apostles, the good news that's in the Bible, the New Testament message that it's by grace alone that you and I save, not by works that we do for God, but by things that God has done for us. Good works on the cross where Jesus came and died. It is that that sets you free and nothing else. That brings you peace with God. What God has done for us, not what you do for God. If you try and build your joy and your Christian walk on what you do for God, you're going to have days where you go, oh, I don't think I'm a Christian anymore. I don't know if this is right anymore. I don't know what, you know. But if you build your Christian life on the cross of Jesus, on what he has done, his completed and finished work, you're standing on a rock. You're standing in a safe place. So stay standing there and stand with confidence and don't desert it. Put your trust in God's word above anyone else, because their opinions can change and go. Keep coming back to this book. That's why I want to preach. I keep coming back to this book. That's why it's not about my words. If I was to say something that was different to this gospel, don't listen to me. Check it out with this book. That's why anyone, those around you, those in the media, those who so much love to influence our minds, and that's true not just of young people. I tell you what, don't kid yourselves out there. I'm just pointing at the back because I noticed some of the older folks are more in the seat. And you know, we too can be influenced by the pressures of the world, by what other things, messages we're hearing. And Paul is saying, stick to this message, that it's about Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. So how do you know the one true gospel? How can you check it out? It's not because it comes with a kind of great logo. You know, oh, you heard it in church, it must be okay. Or you heard it on this news program or this bulletin or whatever. That's not how you can check it's good and the right thing. You know it from the content. You know it because it's the same content, it's the same message, this message of a rescue from Jesus Christ. That is how, above all else, you can test out this message. And it's the content that's found in those original, in the original message of good news that came from Jesus and the early apostles. Keep coming back to that. Keep reading it. Let this book of the law never depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, and be careful to follow it. That would be my encouragement to us all here this evening. Okay, so great gospel of truth that alone can rescue. Don't desert it. Don't leave it. Otherwise, you'll get into trouble. Have you seen the film? Guess what happens to the guy who follows the policeman? Guess what happens to all those people? They end up freezing to death. They end up freezing to death. Big decisions are impacted by whose words you will trust. And here's the thing, a lot of them went that way. A lot of folks thought, yeah, he's a policeman. It sounds like he knows what he's talking about. We'll follow him. And a lot of people will follow those who just speak the loudest or look the most glamorous or look like they've got life sorted the most, or that they seem to be the kind of flash new thing, and they will follow those people. And you've got to decide in your life, are you going to be swayed just because everyone else is doing it and think you'll keep it popular? And he was standing there, wasn't he, the young guy in it? And he was kind of saying, don't go. And people were kind of shrugging off and say, look, kind of get out the way. Let me, you know, you go with it. And you have to decide, are you going to just do what's popular? Are you going to seek the approval of others? Or are you going to say, no, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what? Look what Paul writes. I remember when I read this. In fact, this reason I'm using this Bible tonight, it's one of the older copies of the Bible I got when I was a teenager. And I remember writing in it and scribbling next to a little bit, Galatians 1:10, this verse we read at the end. And I wrote next to it in my kind of late teens, just sort of around when I was about 20 years old, I said that it says this. It says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. And I just wrote next to this, September 96, challenged by this. Who are you trying to please? Not just asking tonight, whose word will you trust? I'm asking, whose approval will you seek? Whose approval are you wanting to get in life? Maybe you look around and actually the people whose approval matters most to you are your peers, your friends, or maybe those at school, or your teachers, or maybe it's some influential person you'll encounter in your life. Maybe it's even some people whose approval can be good to seek, to follow and obey, like your parents or your teachers or those in responsibility and in church life or in your youth group. It's great to try and please them, but above all else, please God first. Above all else, please God first. And sometimes you know that will be a conflict. And you will face a choice. Do I please people or do I please God? And I know in teenage years and in my 20s, and I have to say, it goes on, doesn't it, folks, at the back? Isn't it tempting still in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s? I'm guessing it's true in your 80s too, that we can sometimes just want to please those around us. And sometimes want to get their approval, their praise, rather than this little phrase I found so helpful, play to the audience of one. Young people, as I was praying for you before the service, I was just praying, may we worship and may I speak and may you play to the audience of one. Yeah, it's great to have everyone, you know, want and encourage us and listen to us, but at the end of the day, let's try and please God above all else. And Paul says, in fact, he says this, if I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. If you're serious about wanting to follow Jesus, and yet for you, pleasing people is the most important thing, you will find it very difficult to follow Jesus. There'll be a conflict of interest. You need to decide tonight. As you go out into school for tomorrow, or in the workplace, or back to your neighborhood, or even amongst your family, you need to decide, whose approval do I want the most? Will you play to the audience of one? That one being God, seeking to get his approval above all else. And so as we come to an end tonight, as we conclude, I want to just challenge you to look at those two questions and dig in your heart tonight. Whose word will you trust the most? And whose approval do you want the most? And I want you just to pause right now. And I want you to think about in your life as you go through, who's it going to be? If you've been here through this recent weeks, you know we've been showing some DVDs that describe the indescribable greatness of God, the one who knows everything, the one we've been singing about, whose love is so deep, who's so beautiful, so good. His word is utterly dependable. He knows everything. He knows what is best for you and I. He knows the way to heaven. He knows how we're saved. It is through him and him alone. The good news that Jesus Christ can set you free, can give you peace and joy and life to the full. Trust him. Trust him. And live your life seeking his approval above any other. So let's just bow our heads right now. Let those two questions stay up if we can for a moment, Maria. And just in your own heart, just ask yourselves those questions. And then just decide tonight as you move forward what you'll do. You might just want to echo these words in your heart. Jesus, I trust you. I trust your word, and I want to follow you. Thank you for coming to save me, to rescue me. I I want to please you as I live my life. So help me, I pray. Come into my life afresh today. For I ask in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, one of the reasons we worship and we sing and we praise God is so that we can remind ourselves. Nothing like a song to get it sticking in your head, is there? It's wonderful to remind ourselves through the week and through the days that this Jesus is worth following, that he knows what he's doing. So as we come and we end our service together, the band's going to come up and they're going to lead us in a song again. But I want to encourage you, whether it's these songs, I know these songs are stuck in the minds of the young people, or whether it's other songs that you know, sing them to yourself, sing them as you go around. It's been a joy to hear young people just overflowing with these songs, songs that are based on God's word, this good news of the gospel. And let those songs keep feeding your heart that he is worth it, that he knows what he's doing, that his approval is what counts the most, and you can trust him. We've had a bit of a different service tonight, and we're not going to have our offering in the usual way. But if as you leave, you'd like to make a donation to the work of Soul Survivor, that's something that many churches support. I just want to say that there'll be some retiring offering that anyone can make towards that. It does us good to give. And I also want to say this. As we go through Galatians, we've got small groups kicking off again at our church. I'm sure Port Slade and other churches have groups like this that meet. And we're looking at issues of social justice. And you know what's amazing as you read through Galatians? That yes, we're free and we're not having to do kind of religious deeds to get us right with God. But as we're free, you know what we're free to do? We're free not to live for ourselves, but to serve others in love. So young people, those middle years, those in senior years, let's be those who leave free. And free to do great and wonderful acts of love for others and for those in this world who so desperately need to know that touch of God.